And Bezrat Hashem, Rabbi Amin, when we build Beit HaMikdash, the implication of that is also today, where can we go on Har HaBayit? So if we have just a few words regarding to that question, that's very, people are asking and want to go up, Baruch Hashem, the will and the reason behind wanting to go up to Har HaBayit, we can understand. Not only getting close to the Kedusha, but also we have a political issue. It's not simple. Political halachic, I would say. The question of the sovereignty in Har HaBayit. It's a terrible Chilul Hashem that today in Har HaBayit our enemies are there. But we have to say, we'll start with this. This is like an introduction to the whole shiur, but we have to start with this. At least if we're talking halachically, the mitzvah aser v'yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so if we're talking regarding to the sovereignty in Har HaBayit, we have sovereignty. We can decide who goes up, who doesn't go up, what age, we can decide our days that we don't let them go up at all. But of course the question is also about the future. How can we maintain our sovereignty? So a few words just regarding to this question of Aliyah Lahar HaBayit, Mamash, going on the Har nowadays. So there are at least one issue that we're not going to talk about this shiur, so I have to mention in the beginning of the shiur. Even if we do know where Beit HaMikdash was, even if we can't find the place exactly, and can't find places where can we go without any halachic problem, there still will be at least two problems. The first problem is the question of Tumah and Tahara. We know that, we're going to soon learn more about that, but on Har HaBayit we can go even if we're Tumah Emitim, but we have to be Nitah, we have to be pured by other different, we can pure ourselves today, but there will be a lot of questions. It's not simple, and when you say it's allowed, so then here and there can be people who don't exactly do according to the halacha, and it's not simple. Another question about it is what we call a slippery slope, because there's no boundaries that we can put our. There are no fences or things that we can really stop people from going further on in Har HaBayit. So a lot of the poskim say that to say it's okay, like without any boundaries or anything, it will be a problem. Because people can just go in. And we see it today. You can see there are examples, a lot of examples. For example, one of the big poskim, B'tamid HaChamim, who said you're allowed to go on Har HaBayit today, Rabbi O, for example. He said you're allowed to only men, not women, because of the complications. And the fact is that when you go on Har HaBayit, even though he didn't allow it, he didn't matir it, but they say, okay, he says, okay, it's only a geder, we can do it. Not only that, we know soldiers, so they go on Har HaBayit not to defend, but there are all kinds of tours they give. There's an education, chel chinuch, what's called in Hebrew. They take a Har HaBayit. I'm not talking about being told before. They just walk wherever, you know, without any question. And they every week there's like hundreds of soldiers, unfortunately. And that's of course because when there's some kind of heter, so then you know it's a slippery slope. We don't know where it starts. We don't know where it will end. Because that even if we know exactly where to walk, where to go, where it's allowed, where it's not allowed, these are questions. A realistic question that we're going to have to deal with, but not in the shiur. I'm just saying that a lot of the poskim, regardless of what we're going to talk now, say it's asur, it's not allowed to go on Har HaBayit because of those reasons. What we're going to deal with today is a different question. It's like I said, it's the core, it's the base of the whole discussion, and it's also a positive discussion. Where was Lada Shem? We're going to build Beit HaMikdash. So we'll start. of course, it's a very long and complicated topic, as I said. It's not only Chokmat HaBechira and the Kochim, of course, it's also Yoredea, the Sfekot and Sfekei Sfekot. But we're going to just have a little taste of the whole big issue and topic. We're going to try and we're going to see. I'm going to have to remind you when I have to stop, okay? So, we're going to stop, okay. So this is the picture of Har HaBayit, which is really hard to see, but you see we have like a blue, orange. So usually, so you know where we are. This is the Kotel Maravi, okay? And this is the dome, right? And this is the Kotel Adomi, the southern part of the Kotel, and this is the eastern part, okay, and north, right? You know where we are? Okay. So usually people go on the Har HaBayit, start from here, and they do like, sometimes they surround, go around like that, okay? There are some poskim like Rav Shilat, it says,
according to Rav Gorin.
Now you go from here and go straight and go back.
Soon, if we have time, we're going to explain why.
Exactly. But the premise that stands, behind all we have to say, you go around, of course, is that here, as you can see in this picture, was Beit HaMikdash.
Okay?
I don't know if you can see it clearly. You see this blue one. This thing is like it's supposed to be Azarot, Azarot Nashim, Azarot Yisrael, Azarot Kohanim, Kodesh HaKodeshim. Okay, the premise on
Chat Yisod, right? Premise of the word?
Is that this is
Kodesh HaKodeshim. Okay?
So if I know where with Beit HaMikdash, I can solve all our problems. The thing is, before we start talking about this, we have to understand the limitations regarding to Tum'ah and Tahara, purity and impurity. I'm sure we're all familiar with this drawing by Tiferet Yisrael, of the Beit HaMikdash. Right? This is the Taf Tufama, Taf Tufama, this is Har HaBayit. Just generally, give the Tum'ah and Tahara, the Dinu of Tum'ah and Tahara. So Har HaBayit itself,
we can go on Har HaBayit, even if we are impure, what's called Tme'i Mitim. Okay? Even Met Atzmo, the Gemara says, can be on Har HaBayit.
The only problem going Har HaBayit is if one is impure, what's called Tum'ah Yotzet Migufo.
Can be Keri, Nida, Zav, Zava. Okay? And these kind of impurity, we can be nita in our days. We go to the mikveh, or the ma'ayan, if you're talking about Zav, right? Or we can go on Har HaBayit.
From here, this is the Soreg. It has something to do with Chanukah. Right?
No one? Does anybody know? What's going to mean Soreg and Chanukah? We say in Ma'oz Tzir Rishati, Farzu Chomot Migdalai. What's Farzu? They broke the walls of my castle. It means, the Gemara says that the Yevanim partzu 12 parzot in the Soreg. Okay, they broke 12 in 12 places. Why did they do that? Why was it so important? What bothered them in the Soreg that fact? They didn't ruin anything else in Beit HaMikdash, right? They only impured the shemen. Why did they ruin this? Anybody have an idea? You know why?
Because from here on,
goyim are not allowed to go in. Okay? Not only goyim,
but also people who are impure in Tumah,
from Tumah Yotzet Migufo, Zav, Zavan, Nidal, like I said before, Keri.
It's interesting that they found,
Josephus Flavius wrote in Milchamot Yehudim that there were signs in Latin, that it was written in Latin, that from here on, goyim are not allowed to go in. And if a goyim will go in, Damo Berosho, he's going to, okay, there's a warning. So that probably made them very angry, the Yevanim, and the whole, I don't want to go to Hanukkah, but their whole goal was to ruin these hafradah, these differentiation between Am Yisrael and the Goyim. Okay?
So we had 12 katzot here. From here on, this here there were 12 steps. It's called the Khair. Okay, there's a machlokes
Rambam and Rashi exactly what the Khair were.
But this is the Khair. We say in general, this is Ezrat Nashim. Okay, here, Tmei Met is Asumi the Rabbanan. This whole thing is still the Rabbanan. From this story, it's still the Rabbanan.
According to Rabbeinu Chananel, it's a big chidush of Masechet Zvachim. My Rebbe,
he held from this Rabbi Chanan. He wrote an article about the Ma'amar, Michat Abraham. You can see Michat Abraham Chelik Aleph. That according to Rabbeinu Chananel, the Chel, this part, even though it's the Rabbanan, but if it's open to the Kodesh from here, so from here on, it's assumed from Ideo Raita, not only Midra Rabbanan. Okay? To remember, the Bigan of Kamina. Nafkamina to Svekot, Svek Doraita, Svek Drabanan. We won't be able to go into everything today, but just remember this.
From here, this is here at Shah
Nikanor. Are you familiar with that? Ezrat Israel, Mizbeach, Ben Olam and Mizbeach, the Ulam, right? Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodeshi. From here on, from Shah Nikanor, from here, this Azara is Isur Karet. Whoever goes in to here, Betumat Met, is Chayav Karet, okay? So this in general, we all understand. Okay. Now, what's interesting is, that's a Harabait, and of course, that drawing is according to the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Masechet Midot, the second Perek, Mishnah Aleph, Harabait Ayah 500 Amah, and 500 Amah, the two other Perek later on. But Har HaBayit was 500 cubits by 500 cubits, right? 500 tamah, 500 tamah.
If we look at, this is actually a realistic picture of Har HaBayit today.
So none, it seems, as let's think of the Mishnah. What can we conclude? What does the Mishnah tell us? Har HaBayit was 500 amah by 500 amah. So, first of all, was square, right? That's the first conclusion. What's the second conclusion? How much is 500 amah? Let's say you take the largest midak chazonish, 58, maybe more, 60 centimeters, let's say, okay? It can't be more than 300 meters, okay? That's, and I'm exaggerating, okay? But today, Har HaBayit that we see today, with the chomot around Har HaBayit from Herod, probably, according to archaeologists. It's, so we're talking about Beit Sheni, right? Herod rebuilt the Beit in Beit Sheni.
It's a lot larger, a lot bigger,
a lot longer. Every chumah is longer, okay?
Oh, for example, this eastern chumah is about 470 meters, okay? And the other side also about that.
The only chumah, the only wall that can be in the orech length of maybe the amah is the southern one. Okay, this is 280 meters. 280.
But other than that, so first of all, it's the length is different, and not only that, it's not a square,
right? So both things we concluded out of the Mishnah is not, we can't see in reality. What it means is that it's a kula. Because it means that the 500 amah that are mikudash is somewhere inside you. It's living inside you. Okay, we don't know where it is. It's somewhere inside you. It means that there's a large space that's not Har HaBayit mikudash at all. Okay, that wasn't. And if the description of Har HaBayit from Masechet Midot is from the second temple, and we know the Gemara says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he was the Tana of Masechet Midot. And we know also halachically that they couldn't have expanded the Har HaBayit. They needed a Navi, they needed the Gemara in Shavuos, the Mishnah Shavuos. They couldn't expand it. So, Har HaBayit and Mikudash is somewhere inside. Okay? The question is, where is it? So it's like this. We have actually a solution. if we can find, what will be the solution? If we can find a place where we can say, okay, there Beis HaMikdash was, or an area where Beis HaMikdash was, then we can take like a square of 500 amah, right? Let's say we do b'chumra, chazonish, whatever, 60 centimeters, and we have a place to walk, even if it's like outside of that harabait. We don't need to have to be nitar even, we don't have to go to mikveh, but just later b'chumra, go to mikveh and go on harabait, okay. So the question is, where was Beit HaMikdash? I start with a story that I usually start with. That Mary Shashiva, Mechal Tzadik Yivorcha, told me, Mary Rebbe Shapira, he was born in Yerushalayim. And actually, it's like seven generations in Yerushalayim, from Tamid HaAgra. And in Yerushalayim, this question was, of course, raised. Everybody who lived in Yerushalayim saw Har HaBayit, and the question was, where can we go until where we can walk? And he told me like this. He told me that he remembers as a child, he used to walk in a place called Bab El Katanim. It still, of course, exists today. It's like a shah, it's like a gate. You can see from the gate Har HaBayit. It's a very nice place to see the dome, the Kippat HaSela. And he said that he remembers as a child, he used to walk there, and it was like a sign. They got to a place where it was a rope going down from the roof. Okay, it's right a few meters before the gate. And in the end of the rope was like a key on that rope. I don't know why, but that was the description. And when they got to there, they knew, okay, I have to stop. Because if you walk further, you're actually going on Har HaBayit. And he told me, Rav Shapira, that there weren't any problems going to the mikveh in those days in Yerushalayim. And no Turkish guard said not to go in. We're talking about the time of the Turks. There was no problem going further. But they still were makpid not to go further than that. And why? And that's, I'll use his words in Hebrew. Ki kol ha-mekomot be-arabayit mesupakim. Okay, we have a suffix. We have a suffix about the places where it was based on Migdash. And because we have a suffix, we cannot go further than that. But we know that if it's Har HaBayit, we're not going inside. So I asked him, maybe since, you know, in days of the Turks and today, maybe there are things that people found, Chidushim, archaeology, things, you know. Tens of people wrote about it, tried to find. Today there are Peskim, which I will see soon, and say, here was Beit HaMikdash, no doubt about it, and Kodesh HaKodeshim. So he said, in his opinion, I'll say it in Hebrew again, Shum davar lo yitchadesh. Ma sheyitchadesh, I'll finish the sentence, ze shepachot pochadim yikaret. What? Yeah, I don't know. Hey, I think sense of humor. Whoever knew him. He said, whatever was mitchadesh, nothing was, no chidush, that, but of course, a lot of chidushim, but nothing that is relevant halacha, according to his opinion. What was mitchadesh was that people are less afraid from Koris. That's a chiddush. Anyhow, so now that we have this introduction, now let's try to understand can we actually try to identify a place where we can say Beis HaMikdash was. Does anybody have an idea? We have a big area, and we don't know, is there any, what can be an indication to try to find Beit HaMikdash? What? Eben Ashtia. Okay, but what's Eben Ashtia? That's true. If I would know where Eben Ashtia was, I solved the problem. Because Eben Ashtia was in Kodesh HaKodeshim, right? But it's interesting that you bring it up, because what's Eben Ashtia? I don't know if we'll have time to get to there, but just so we have the question is good. What's Eben Ashtia? Does Eben Ashtia mean bedrock, or does Eben Ashtia mean a rock? That's, you know, in Hebrew we have a very explicit distinction between when we say a bedrock, that's called a sela, and maybe a boulder in English, and Eben, when you say Eben, it means rock, not the bedrock, but a rock that, you know, that you can take around. Okay, for example, these are a lot of Mishnayot, of course you know. Evan and Sela, I'll give an example. Evan Ashtiya, what does Evan mean? Eva means something that you can take around, right? If you remember the Mishnah in Masechet Yoma. Eva hayta sham mimot nevi'im rishonim. From the days of the Nevi'im rishonim, the Gemara says, David HaMelech, Shimon HaNevi, there was a rock there, an Eva there. So what are we talking about? So we're talking about the whole mountain? Or, it sounds to me like a rock, right? That we can... האבן אשר שמתי מצבה, יעקב אבינו, פרשת שבוע, right? What's the אבן? The מפרשים say that's אבן השתייה, right? אבן is something that מטלטל, that you can take around. It's not the... Here, what we know today, under the dome, what people claim maybe, not only people, Radbaz, when you see the Radbaz, he said that's Eben HaShtiyah, it's the bedrock. It's like a point where the bedrock is bulges out of the ground, but it's a bedrock. Okay, it's not an Eben. It's a bedrock of the whole mountain. Okay? So that's a good question. But if I would know where Eben HaShtiyah was, we solved the problem. Another idea? Okay, so let's start with first idea that archaeologists had. We know that in those days, even though today, people built on things that were built before. Okay? You usually don't waste time and energy and money to start building Yesodot, I don't know how you say it in English.
Foundation.
What?
Foundation.
Foundation, exactly. You build on foundations that already exist, okay? So maybe we can look and see on Harabayit if there are different structures that we can maybe see that, okay, that's an indication, maybe something was there before, okay? So what structures do we have in Harabayit? We have this dome, and it was built in about 670, a little before Leminyanam, 670, yeah. And we have what we call El Akt, right? This is El Akt. So maybe this has some kind of an indication, but interestingly enough, Adrichal Sahib, he's an architect. He's an architect. He wrote very interesting articles about Harabayit. He found a very interesting similarity between Harabayit and I would say Mikdash Avodah Zarah, okay, of Jupiter in Baal Bek in Lebanon. Hadrian, built a lot of Mikdashim for Avodah Zarah. Chazal tell us that in Harabayit, Hadrianus built. Mikdash for Avodah Zarah. When did Hadrian live, Hadrianus? We're talking about 60 years about after the Churban, right? Bar Kokhba, 133. So a lot after the Churban, and he built a Beit Avodah Zarah. And interestingly enough, the similarity is amazing. Okay, you see, this it's the same Amot Midah, the same. Okay. Yeah, we said that. Okay, you understand. It's the same distances, okay? It's not, we didn't change the dimensions, measures of the map, whatever. It's the same thing. And you see, again, Metuman, or Meshushet, in English, and Malbe. Okay? And the exact same distance.
And a rectangle.
Okay. It's interesting.
Left is a
hexagon. Yeah, this is the Metuman. Harabayit is the Metuman, and here is the Meshushet. It's a six. Hadrian used to put his statue in the middle, between these two places. Okay? And again, interestingly enough, just remember this. You have to. Until what time do we have?
7:30.
7:30. Okay. We're going to something like this. Hieronymus, was a Christian who lived in about 150 years after the Churban, and he translated the Tanakh. He writes in the Sefer Daniel that Adrianus put his statue where Kodesh HaKodeshim was. Okay? So if we're going according to this, Kodesh HaKodeshim is supposed to be somewhere here and not here. Okay, just try to... Because Hadrian, we know, used to put his statue between the two structures. But again, if you're going to try to go according to structures, so we don't have any indication. Because if we have an indication, it seems like Hadrian built something else here. Okay, he built Beit Mikdash to Jupiter. Maybe, it can be, that he built something on Kodesh HaKodeshim, but it's not, we don't know. Okay? I review what I said about the statue.
Hadrian's statue is right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Therefore, that shows the ramifications of that are
that Kodesh HaKodeshim, maybe, if it's true, if we can believe Hieronymus, if we know everything is Mesupak, but and that Kodesh HaKodeshim is in the middle, between this and this, right? Or this and this. This is Arabic. Okay, we know that he used to put, these are two structures of Mikdash that they had, all kinds of, and his statue would he used to put in the middle. Between them. So here in the middle is somewhere over here, right? And if Hieronymus is right, and he said that the statue of Adrianus was in Kodesh HaKodeshim, where the Jews said Kodesh HaKodeshim, and the Pasuk Shikutz Meshomem, there in Daniel, then we have some kind of a different indication. We have indication that Kodesh HaKodeshim was here, not here. Not in what we see, what... Yeah.
What wasn't the dome built hundreds of years later?
Right, but as we said, we used to build on foundations that were existing already, okay? So we thought maybe it's a possibility to try to find some indication, but it's not true here in this fact, okay? Because we don't have a, it's not based enough, it's not Adrabah, on the contrary, we can see that maybe it's an indication for the Mikdash of Jupiter and that not for Arabis or Mikdash, okay? So the truth is, halachically, the question has to be asked, do we have any tradition? Okay, we don't have any way, indication on the mountain itself today. Maybe B'zad Hashem will be allowed to go on the Har to try to find where Beis HaMikdash was, to build Beis HaMikdash. Like the Gemara in Zvachim tells us that when they built Har HaBayit, they went and they found foundations of Har HaBayit. That's what the Gemara says. They found the foundations, and according to those foundations, they built Beit HaMikdash. Bezrat Hashem, when we go, be able to go on Har HaBayit, we're going to look for foundations. Hopefully, the Arabs didn't ruin everything that's there, but we're going to try to find foundations, Bezrat Hashem. There are ways to find Beit HaMikdash. The Shittin, for example, there are different ways. It's another Shira. But today, you know, we cannot... unfortunately, go on Har HaBayit and do excavations, try to find the remains or misodot, foundations. Do we have any tradition, masoret, or halachic ruling that tells us explicitly where was Beis HaMikdash on Har HaBayit today? So it said this, we have a lot of descriptions from what we call Nosei Masaot. Okay, the Rishonim who came to Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban, famous, of course. Before the Ramban, we were talking about Rabbi Bimi Mituldela, before, who came to Eretz Yisrael and wrote his description. Rabbi Meshulam Mivoltaire. A lot of Rabbi Yehovah Ben Tanura also came to Eretz Yisrael and wrote his journey, what happened, v'chule v'chule. And in those writings, we do find that they say, the majority of them say, that we know here Beit HaMikdash was where the Dome of the Rock is. Okay, that's a... but we have to know that these descriptions are not halachic. Okay, they never try to be halachic, and they don't... they're not an answer for she'ela. It's only a description, you know, like today. If one would, you would ask any tour guide, where was Beis HaMikdash? He'll tell you, yeah, of course, you see that beautiful dome with gold. There was Beit HaMikdash, okay? We find a lot of mistakes in those Rishonim who wrote their journey, what they saw. For example, one of them writes the Carmel. He sees the Carmel. I'm talking about Carmel Haifa. Ah, that's where Naval HaKarmeli was. Okay, we know that Carmel of Naval HaKarmeli wasn't at all in Haifa. We find even, it's hard to say, but that's a mitzvah. Because again, let's imagine we come, land from France, okay? We came from France to Israel, don't know anything, nothing. And some tour guide tells us where everything was. Okay, so we even find Christian traditions in these descriptions. So nothing actually is referring to halacha in these descriptions. The only one who really in these descriptions of these nosei masaot who does write something that you can say is regarding to halacha is Rabbeinu Ovadia Bar Tanua, and he writes. Why? How do I know that? Because he says different than all the other things he describes when he talks about Even Hashtiyah. He says v'chakarti al mekom Even Hashtiyah. I try to find where was Mekom Even Hashtiyah. Okay, it's not Stam I'm writing Sindhu Tovi. And he says, V'rov bnei adam amrim, and the majority say that's here. Okay? He's very careful in defining and saying identifying the place as Even Hashtiyah. It doesn't say it explicitly without any doubt. There are people say that it's over there. Okay, he's not he's still in the Supah. So we don't find any specific tradition. What we do find, very interesting, the only he was the Rishon, was the Tefer between the Rishonim and the Achanim, the Radbaz, Rabbi David Ben Zimra, who was a rabbi in Cairo and then in Egypt, and then in Tzfat and in Yerushalayim. And he writes in the Tshuva explicitly, he's the only one who is really asked if you're allowed to go to Arabai, where are you allowed to go, and he writes explicitly, without any doubt, you have Belos Afek, that's his word, that Kodesh HaKodeshim is in Even Hashtiyah, and Even Hashtiyah is in Kippat HaSela, okay, over here, this is Even Hashtiyah, Efo She'amad Aron HaKodesh, B'ma'aravo, on the west side of Kodesh HaKodeshim. Okay? So why don't we go according to the Radbaz? Well, the great poskim that we had in every topic of Kol HaTorah Kula, from Shabbos and everything, Tyrus and Zoyim and Zee, everything. Radbaz says explicitly the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Why didn't the poskim go according to Radbaz? So all the poskim in Yerushalayim, I'm talking about Atzitz Eliezer, Eliezer Waldenberg, Arav Goren, even Arav Goren, you try to find every place where you can go to the Rabbi. Wouldn't go according to the Radbaz. Wouldn't depend on the Radbaz. Arav Shapira, of course, you mentioned. Arav Weiss, Arav Adel Dacharelli. All the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim didn't depend on that tshuva of the Radbaz. Why? Because I said the whole tshuva is filled with contradictions. Okay? Again, it's a whole shiur to explain. I'll just say just a little bit. For example, in the same tshuva that the Radbaz says that here is Kodesh HaKodeshim, the same tshuva itself, the Radbaz says that this over here, let's take a better picture because we have it. Okay. This, the southern wall, is the wall of the Azara. Okay? What is Azara? You remember? Here, this is a... Let's go back to the... This is the wall of the Azara. Okay? So he said, this wall, and we see over here, is the wall of the Azara. That can't be. Okay? It's too far. It's mamash a contradiction. If this is the wall of the Azara, so Kodesh HaKodeshim is supposed to be somewhere here. Not only that, the Radbaz says that he sees another contradiction, the same tshuva. He sees here in El Aqsa that under El Aqsa, it was called in those days Midrash Shlomo, under El Aqsa you can see a structure of arches, above arches, what we call, the Mishnah calls Kefin al Gabe Kefin, okay? And like Chazal described in the Mishnah. But if we say that this was Kodesh HaKodeshim, this here, Midrash Shlomo, Al-Aqsa, cannot be Har HaBayit. Why? Again, we're talking about 500 cubits. This is outside of time. If you take it even according to the what the Mishnah says, as Rubomina Darom Shinim and Mizrach, I can't go into this. But you're gonna have to believe me. Learn everything inside after this year. You can open everything and learn by yourself. But this cannot be, Midrash Lama cannot be part of the Harabayit. So the Radbaz can't say, I see, in the same tshuva he says, I see kefin al gavei kefin of Harabayit here on the Midrash Lama. And by the way, it's true. There was an earthquake about 100 and something years ago. There's a picture that they took, and you see under Midrash Lama, kefin al gavei kefin. Very interesting. Like Chazal said, the reason they did arches like that was because of the tum'ah. If it's potech tefach, there's air, right? So the tum'ah doesn't burst up. Okay, so mechashash, if there would be some kind of something tum'ah under Harabayit, we did kifin and kifin. So actually, it is. It's very interesting. There are pictures you can see of kifin and kifin under the Aqsa. But this can be Harabayit if this is kodesh to kodeshim. Okay, so another stira. Not only that, we can't go into it. But I'll just say very briefly that according to what the Radbaz says, and according to the length of the Amah, according to the Radbaz, okay, we know the length of the Amah. Why? Because the Radbaz tells us that here is the Kotel of Harabayit, and this is also the Kotel of Harabayit. So we can just, and this is Kodesh HaKodeshim, so it's very easy. You can just measure from here to here, okay? So we know that 500 Amah, very interesting, it's exactly the Chazon Ish, okay? From here to here, it's like 58 centimeters. Okay, the truth is it's not exactly. I've gone and thought that it's exactly, according to the measurements of the Chela Andasa, but today we know it's a little bigger. Anyhow, but it can't be that if the Amah is 58, at least, okay, and I put Kodesh Kodeshim here, and according to what the Rabbah says, that, it's a big machok teshonim, but the Rabbah says in that tshuva, that Aron HaKodesh, Aron HaBrit, was on the western side of Kodesh HaKodeshim. If that is the case, then Beit HaMikdash hits the wall and maybe even goes over the wall. Okay? So we have two different things that the Rabbah said in the Tshuva, on other contradictions, but this is a contradiction with two statements. The first statement is that this is Kodesh HaKodeshim, here's the Ashtia. And the second statement is that Aron HaBrit was on the west side of Kodesh HaKodeshim, what takes the Beit HaMikdash outside. I can show you a picture here. Okay? What means that this is at least here, probably even more. Okay, so this is when it's... This is the drawing of Rav Korim, Rav Korim. Just without explaining too much, you can see it right in front of your eyes. Okay? If we put Kodesh Kodeshim here, not the way the Radbaz says. Okay? Here, the Eretz Yisrael is over here. Okay? Not on the west side, but here on the eastern side. Look what happens. This is Ezrat Nashim, right? What happened to Ezrat Nashim? Does it look the same way as the Tiferet Yisrael said, or as the Mishnah says? The Mishnah says that Ezrat Nashim was Kufla Medei Amah, 135, by 135. Is this a square? No, it's not a square. Why is it a square? Because if it would be a square, we would just bump into the wall, okay? And this is when the Aron HaBrit is here, okay? The Evin HaShkiyah is here. The question is, where was the HaShkiyah was bullet in the Kodesh Kodesh? Okay? If Eben Hashkiyah was over here, okay, and we know where Eben Hashkiyah is now, it means the rock today. It means I have to take all this and take it to the right, right? Because the rock is actually over here. Okay? I'm taking it to the right, it will go out of, will hit the wall. Okay? Only this, without doing what I did. Okay? Even if, say, if the rock is over here, on this side, on the eastern side, not on the western side, so it contradicts the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Lishachot, each Lishka, was 40 Amah by 40 Amah. Again, a square. And Ezrat Nashim was a square. So there are two statements of the Radbaz that contradicts itself. Now, I don't know. So let's say you bring the Radbaz, we go back in time, time tunnel and get to the Radbaz and ask them, okay, what today that we know, because we have maps and we can measure, we know that these two statements, one is wrong. You can't live with both of them together. What statement is wrong and what is right? So maybe the Radbaz will say, the fact that I said like the Rambam, that Ibn Ashiya was on the western side is wrong, and the fact that this Hashim is right. Maybe. But maybe we'll say it differently. No. What the Rambam says is true, that it's on the western side. And not like Ri and the Ritzba. Not like Bala Tosos. It's on the western side. So probably this is not a common Dash. It may be. Okay, this one, we gave about three examples of contradictions in the Tshuva. The whole Tshuva is full of contradictions. Okay? So again, Rav Goren and all the Gdolei Poskim and Rav Shapira and Rav Waldenberg, all the Yerushalmim, all the Poskim Yerushalmim didn't go according to that Radbaz. Interestingly enough, I asked Rav Dov Lior, what does he pasek? And he answered me that he is somech and the Radbaz. He goes according to the Radbaz. And what he brings as simchuta, it's hard to read here, I'm going to tell you by heart, he says that Rav Tikuchinsky and Rav Goren went according to the Radbaz. I sent him back that not, first of all, Rav Tikuchinsky himself. It's true, Rav Tikuchinsky had a lot of, you know who Rav Tikuchinsky was? Rav Chaim Misha Tikuchinsky. Tikuchinsky was a great Talmid Chacham. Many Talmid Chacham lived in Yerushalayim. He was the Meshiva of Yitzchayim. Not long ago, I went, a few years ago, to his son to try to hear stories about my Meshiva. I recorded a few stories. He had a very, very special relationship with the Rav Shapira and Rav Yivocha. They have interesting correspondence. A few topics, Purim Tetzvav, Yerushalayim, Purim Meshulash. Anyhow, so, but he wrote a lot about, a lot of topics about Yerushalayim, but then Harabait as well. And he tried to defend the Radbaz's statement, but, that's true, but when he talked about Halacha, it was a question of building a shul, a bit of Knesset, on Har HaBayit. There he wrote explicitly that we can't be somech on the tshuva of the Radbaz. And we cannot say that this rock is Ibn Ashtiyah. He says here explicitly, גם לדידי שעמדתי על ידי שתי השערות חדשות להתאים את קרן העלית דרומית שלו למקום נקודת אבן השתייה אינן אלא השערות. It's only theories. What I said to try to defend that is קודש הקודשים, it's השערות, it's a theory. ואין בטוחות לזה. I can't be 100% sure about that. ומכיוון שאבן הזו אינה מוכיחה על עצמה, because this rock doesn't prove about itself, there are all kinds of problems. כיצד תוכיח במקום המזבח? How can it teach us about מקום המזבח? And the implication it will be also building shul there. Rav Goren as well. Again, this is a sefer that's called Harabait, a very important sefer that Rav Goren wrote, trying to find a place where we can go on Harabait. In that sefer itself, Rav Goren says, we cannot take this rock and say, okay, we know that I was Ibn Ashtiyah. We cannot, it's theories. We cannot depend on those theories. And we have to go according to the Chumrah, according to all of the Shitot, and that's what he did. And that's the Hanachat Yisod, the premise of Bichlal, the Halach discussion. That we have to go the Chumrah, according to all the Shitot, until we're going to have the opportunity to go and try to find foundations, etc. But until then, we have to go to Chumrah. So Rav Goren himself wouldn't be somech. He didn't, wasn't somech on that ruling of Radbaz, on that statement of the Radbaz, that identification of Ibn Ashtiyah in Kippat HaSera. But Rav Lior answered me again that he's still somech on the Radbaz. The same thing, the answer I got from Rav Rabinovich from Ma'ale Adumim, they said, I'm somech on the Radbaz. That's so of course, it's the Torah, the great poskim. Whoever goes according to them can go, go according to them, of course. But
interrupt one second to clarify that Rav his son is around here in Yeshiva.
Ah,
Rav Rabinovich was of the opinion
that you can, that you can go according to the Radbaz. Rav Shilat, of course, says Rav Shiva then Ma'aleh Adumim. Like you said, the Maaseh doesn't go around depending on that shul of the Radbaz. He just goes according to, like the Rav Goren says, only like Rav Goren said, only in the south part. Okay. So according, of course, if you go, one goes according to Rav Yehoshua, which is tremendous Talmid Chacham, and Rav Yehoshua, but we have to know, and this is part of the reason we have the Shiur, we have to know that what Rav Yehoshua and Rav Yehoshua are passing is a step further than what all the Gedolei HaDor before passing. Okay, we have Hasid Eliezer, the tshuva, it's a long tshuva that we can't not be pesukim in Radbaz. Tshuva of Rav Weisse, and Rav Shabbat, of course, and Rav Gon, etc., etc. So it's like a stage further. Yeah.
Rav Gavit or Rav Dior paskin differently based on new information that came to light, or did they just paskin differently even though the other paskin weren't? I mean, did Rav Gon have less information?
Okay, Rav Rabinovich, he didn't go into details, but I understood from him, he just wrote me that the Radbaz was the Gedolei HaPaskim, and we can go according to what he said. Rav Lior and other rabbanim depend on it's not new, but it's I would say Arzam al Koren. You heard of Koren? Arzam al Koren. He wrote a very important sefer, and Harabait is one of the bigger researchers. He's a big time chacham, and I don't know if we're gonna have time, but he had an interesting idea to try to find topographically the place of Mekom Kodesh HaKodeshim. He himself said you cannot depend it la halacha, only lechumra, of course. But Rav Lior said, I'm going according to what he said. The problem with the topographical, it's a very interesting idea, but there are a few problems. First, Rav Goren didn't accept that theory. He wrote this explicitly. When I showed it to Rav Zalman Koren, he didn't know that. He didn't know that Rav Goren referred to his theory. It's a different story if you want, I can tell you afterwards. Very interesting. But Rav Goren said that you cannot, topographically, is not enough for the halacha here. Why? Because we know there were all kinds of changes in the Har HaBayit. And Abu Awad Yesodba. Rav Goren doesn't write this, but we know, since Josephus Flavius writes explicitly that Shimon Chashmonai, when he took down the chakra, Hanukkah, when he took down the chakra of the Greeks, the Yevanim over there, so he chatzav basela. Okay, it's explicit in Yosef HaSuad. We're talking about the bedrock, not stam ruining a structure. He dug in the bedrock 50 amma. Okay, he took down so the it won't be higher than Beit HaMikdash. Now, where the chakra was, we don't know where it was. It was probably southern, and this is a change. Southern, then if this was Beit HaMikdash, so the chakra was somewhere over here. If this is Beit HaMikdash, the chakra was somewhere here.
The chakra was for sure on Har HaBayit?
No, not on Har HaBayit, it was southern Har HaBayit. On Har HaMoriah.
On Har HaMoriah?
Yeah.
The chakra was for sure on Har HaMoriah?
Yeah. On Har HaMoriah. And like the Antonia that was on the other side, on Har HaMoriah. And that, and Yosefus writes explicitly that he dug, and not only dug, you say with not dug, chatzav, broke the rocks. Okay, he took that, he took down the mountain. Okay, part of the mountain. So we don't know what Hadrian did. We don't know what happened. We're talking about 2,000 years. So Rav Goren said you cannot depend on topographical findings. Not only that. Rav Goren claimed that this is called Mizbech, okay? What he claimed, he didn't go according to the Stalocha, he said it's only a theory. That's why he said you can go only on the southern side. But this is called Mizbech, and even though here, topographically, the mountain goes down, okay? Goes down here like this. And we know that Mekom Mizbech, originally, topographically, here was supposed to be a mountain. If Eben Ashtiyah was part of the bedrock, so the bedrock goes up here to Kodesh Kodeshim, okay, and has it bulges in Kodesh Kodeshim, three etzvot, right? It's bullet three etzvot. But he said, okay, I know that the rock here is down, it's supposed to be higher, but maybe it was broken, nechtzav. I mean, it's probably a better word than nechtzav b'har. Okay. you understand, right? They dig it.
The 500 amos of the Mishnah, does that have to be bidiyuk 500, or could it be like if it was 520, would that all be also be considered 500?
It's a good question. We find something similar to what you're saying in the Ulam. The Ulam, the Mishnah says me'ama al me'ama. Not only the Mishnah, the Ulam and the Heichal. And we know that it wasn't me'ama al me'ama. The front of the Heichal, the Ulam, was me'ama. But behind, like the Gemara says, like Ariyeh, Levi, right? Ariel. Ariel like Ariel. It wasn't 100 and 100 by 100. Okay? So it's true that we don't, sometimes it's not exactly, it's not that it's more, but we can find, it's as if Chazal made it, let's say, Ribua, but it's like part of Ribua. That we can't find. Maybe. It's true. Okay? But we have to prove that again. Everything is there. If it's true. Anyhow, okay, let's go. I'll just skip a few things because we want the... So the Radbaz was the only one who we can actually maybe try to depend on, to be sumich, to go al-Arabayit. And we saw that the majority of Poskim are not sumich. But, interestingly enough, we do find one of the Rishonim. If we are medayek in what he says, you can understand where, according to him, Beit HaMikdash was. And not only that it's not according to the Radbaz, that you see from when he says, this wasn't Kodesh Kodeshim, okay, I change here the, here's the Kotel Ma'avi, and this is the southern part, okay? This is the eastern part, Sha'al HaMim, Kotel Ma'avi, the western part, okay? We change language, okay? Everybody's... If you see what he says, we can understand that he understood differently than Radbaz. What's interesting is we're talking about one of the great Rishonim, Bala Kaftor Ferach. All the Chot Atliot Ba'aretz, we go called Bala Kaftor Ferach, it's very famous. Bet Yosef means Kaftor Ferach, Chot Tzitzit, all the issues. He came to Eretz Israel, we're talking about 200 years before the Radbaz. Okay? But about 1313, He came to Yerushalayim, and he wrote a very detailed description of Yerushalayim, everything in Yerushalayim, and he wrote halachically about Harabait. Halachically. Okay? Again, not from a tour guide, but halachically. And what's interesting is, he asked himself, are these chomot, are chomot Harabait, or maybe the chomot Azara? Okay, who said these are Chomot HaRabayit? He gives two answers. You remember what Chomot HaZara are? Right, Chomot HaZara is, let's say this is Kodesh HaRashim, this is the Chomot HaZara. Right? He gives two answers. You understand the question? Okay. One answer, it's too big, it's too long. Right, great answer. Second answer, topographically, and this is one of Koren bases his all the shita. You see, he says the Kaftor HaFerach does go according to the topographic findings, even though that here we're talking about a tremendous topographical. It's not a few meters. We're talking about. He says from here, if you go to east, it's a tremendous emek. How do you say valley. So if Beit HaMikdash was here, okay, Azara was here, so it cannot be that it was digged so, like hundreds of meters digged down. So we have to say that this Chumat is Chumat HaRabayit and not Chumat HaAzara. Okay? Let's just, so we can understand what we're talking about. This is a good picture. No. Yeah, let's go to the beginning. Okay? This has to be Chomat HaRabayit, not Chomat HaAzara, because it's long, and it's too long to be Chomat HaAzara, and topographically here it's like a whole, we're going down. Okay? And now I'm going to ask a simple question. This by itself, without learning the Kaftor Aferach, this by itself showed me, I saw, that Kaftor Aferach didn't hold like the Radbat. Okay? Why? Because if we would know, if he had any tradition, some kind of tradition, that this was Mekom Kodesh HaKodeshim, the whole question is Miyutar. Is it Miyutar? It's
not necessary.
Not necessary. There's no question. Why? Because it's too far. It's too, the Azara is here, okay? This is the Azara. This is the Azara. This is supposed to be apparently the Chet. This is the Azara. Right? It's like Kohanim. It's like Sodat Kohanim. Okay? What's the Hava Amina that this wall is the Azara? If I know this is the Dome of the Rock is Kodesh HaKodeshim. Now the Dome of the Rock was built 600 years before the Kaftor Aferach came to Yerushalayim. Right? I mean, it's built, it's nice, like almost like we see it today. Maybe even nicer. Why? So first of all, we have to say it's very important. The Kaftor Aferach doesn't mention, even though he describes everything in Yerushalayim, everything that moves in Yerushalayim, it doesn't move in Yerushalayim. Everything. Kevi Chuldan Viya, and Me'arat Tzidkiyahu, and where there's a wall, where there isn't a wall, everything. But the Dome of the Rock, he doesn't mention at all. Nothing. Not only that he doesn't mention, this question by itself teaches us that he didn't have any tradition. This was Mekom Kodesh HaKodeshim. Okay? Because if he thought it was Mekom Kodesh HaKodeshim, the whole question is solved. This cannot be, and this cannot be, Azara, Chomat Azara. He had to get these two answers. It's too long, and topographical, because he didn't have any tradition where Mekom Kodesh HaKodeshim was. What?
We have to finish.
Okay. So just one sentence. Not only that, we see from the Kaftor Aferach that he understood that Kodesh HaKodeshim was somewhere else. So just in one sentence, the Kaftor Aferach says that he can see Shar Shushan. Okay, and this is now the Eastern Wall. We can see, he sees Shar Shushan. We know that there were five Sharim of HaRabayit, right? On the southern part, there were two Sharim, Shar Chulda. He was Shar Gifonus. On the northern side, Shar Tadi. And on the eastern side, Shar Shushan. And he says, I can see Shar Shushan. Where's Shar Shushan? If you take this wall and divide it into three, so in the first part, the first part, there is Shar Shushan. Okay? Here, this is the third part. Why is Shar Shushan so important? Does anybody know? How can I know, according to Shar Shushan, where was Kodesh HaKodeshim? It's an explicit Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Shar Shushan was straight in a straight line to Kodesh HaKodeshim. Why? Because when the Kohen Gadol, when the Kohen in Parag, when he was Soref the Parag Adumah, Nochach Pnei Ol Moed, right? He used to look through the Shar Shushan, straight to the Shar Mizrahi and Shar Nikanor, and straight into to see the Ulam, the Ichal. So if I know where Shar Shushan was, I can know where Kodesh HaKodeshim was. Right? And the Kaftor Aferach tells us explicitly, I identify Shar Shushan, I can identify it, I can see it. And where is Shar Shushan? It's in the first, Im techalek zeakot b'shtu ha'chalakim, yeh zeakot ha'chalak ha'rishon, mitzad keren mizrahi dromi. Okay? In the first third, I take this whole eastern wall and divide it into three, and this first, and the first part from Keren Mizrahi Drumi, from the southern and eastern Pina corner, here, somewhere here, I see Shar Shushan. What it means is that according to Kaftor Aferach, even though he didn't see anything on Arabite itself, but he saw where Shar Shushan was, so we know that Kodesh HaKodeshim was, let's say it's over here, somewhere over here.
In the
southern third of Har HaBayit. That the Kaftor Aferach saw.
Why did the Radba see that? Very simple, the same reason why you don't see it today. Because the Mamlukim, about 150 years after the Kaftor affair, they ruined the majority of most of this wall. They ruined and built it again. Okay? So the Radba didn't see any gate. Like today, we don't see any gate here. We see only Shah Khamim, but not anymore. Okay? We have to. Okay, so you just taste. It's like a taste.
Summary.
Okay, a summary.
Bottom line.
Bottom line. Okay, it's hard to say bottom line because it's really, as you can see, it's a very large and interesting and complicated topic. But then you have to learn it, and this is the reason. The whole if, as a result of this year, you're going to learn this topic. So dayenu, that's a sarim baruch Hashem. But what we try to see is the taste. That it's that simple. That's enough. Just to know that it's very complicated. The machlokot and the shitot, and when you start to research and start to learn halachically, where was Beit HaMikdash? So there are different shitot and rishonim, and maybe even according to Kaftor HaFech, the way people grow up today, they go here. Go here and do a... Or according to Rashi, they go here and go back. So maybe even according to Kaftor HaFech, your mamish... walking where Beis HaMikdash was. We don't have time, but there's a lot and so it's not simple. And Be'ezrat Hashem, today we don't have enough nitunim, enough facts and knowledge to know where Beis HaMikdash was exactly. There's a big machakot, it's not simple. But Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to have an ability to go on Har HaBayit and try to find things, foundations and other things that we can go according to them and try to find where based on the trust we're going to be able to find B'ezrat Hashem. Today, so we didn't talk about the slippery slope, halachic problems are going on, but we try to understand a little bit the complications of, according to the different Rishonim, why it's difficult to find and to be, to say things for sure, without any doubt, where Beis HaMikdash was, but B'ezrat Hashem, we're going to be able to find it. B'ezrat Hashem.
Yeah. Thank you very much.